Almost. Here we are. Here we are.
Let's go.
Hey.
Good evening, Melrosians, hey! The world over. Whoa.
What's
I'm
happening?
I'm Tom Catalini.
I'm Jen LeClaire.
I'm Sam Hammer.
I'm Tom Shampoo.
And this is Let's Talk Melrose. Melrose, a show where Melrosians talk to Melrosians about Melrose. And is that not bad luck, Jen? What's happening over there?
I don't know, but you can't be too safe these days because it's July 13th and it's been raining every single day in July so far.
It's rained every single day in July. That's absolutely true. In fact, June had less than 3 inches of rain for the whole month, and July had 3 inches of rain in the first 2 days.
Oof.
It's crazy
month. Yeah, we're having June in July is what it feels like to me.
Yeah. But anyway, I love opening with weather. This is fantastic. No one's happier than me right now.
And props and costumes. I was ready with that.
All right.
I thought it was quite a pleasant day today outside. Yeah. I just came back from a bike ride myself, which was nice to get together with the gang after work and do a little cycling. This was out in the Lexington area. That's why I was kind of last minute getting online here. But it was perfect weather for that. Not too hot, not too cool. No rain dropping at the moment. But I don't know. What are you going to do? The thing is, I'm saving tons of money on watering the lawn and whatnot. Right?
True. Yeah. True. Totally.
You guys got to look at the bright side. That's what I'm here to teach you.
Oh, I have my bright, adorable umbrella. I get to accessorize. It's fine.
Tom's going to bring us along. That's all he's
doing.
Yes,
exactly.
So that's one of my favorite stories that probably comes from Twitter lore or something, where a guy was saying, with his child, every time it rains out, he goes, oh, great, it's raining. We can go out and splash in puddles and, get our fancy umbrellas out or whatever. Rain doesn't have to mean bad news all the time. We don't have to all be down on it. Take that crown and turn it upside down.
Yeah, totally. I used to love, my mom had it when I was a little kid. My mom had one of those bell-shaped umbrellas. And when I was really, really little, you'd go out and just crouch down under it. And you felt like you were in this little cave and it was raining all around you. I still love that when I was tiny.
But Tommy, you didn't finish the rest of that story, which is the kid responded by saying, excuse me, Dad, I'm working on my story right now.
Tomcat, you had a shout out you wanted to make?
Yes. So we had a graduation party this weekend for my daughter, Annalise, who graduated.
Congrats.
Melrose High 2021. And among the decorations and the catering and all of that for a little family party were these cupcakes from Two Dogs Cupcakes right here in Melrose. And look at this, custom made.
Look at that.
Custom made. So you see Melrose High represented, Salem State University, where she's going to school.
Cool.
You see a little tennis because she played tennis. You see boba tea because her and her friends go out and get boba tea. So totally personalized, totally customized, delivered in a beautiful box and packaging. Yeah. And then they're beautiful when you show them. And it was a very reasonable price. Two Dogs Cupcakes right here in Melrose.
In Melrose, really?
Oh, no, this is why I'm plugging it.
I did not know that.
Cupcake baker right in your town, Jen.
I had no idea. Thanks for letting me
get that umbrella. Walk down to Ann Plummer's house and get yourself some cupcakes. She probably put cute little umbrellas on it.
Whatever you want.
Whatever you need.
Can you go back to the picture for a minute?
I certainly can. So we have the technology.
Yeah. Okay, so if I'm glad you told me that it was tennis, because I could also order those cupcakes if I was frying eggs in a pan.
Sunny side up.
a breakfast cupcake if you needed one.
Sunny
side up. Those are gorgeous. They're great.
Boundless talent in this city.
Yeah.
The apple shampoo is with a happy recipients of next day cupcakes.
And yes, you were not invited to the party, but you were able to receive some of the leftovers. Yep. That's true. Yep.
I also heard they were good, but I wasn't certain for sure, because not only were we not invited to the party, did not get day old cupcakes.
We
got day after Swedish fish. Yes.
Hey, before we, and congratulations to Annalise and all the graduates.
And all the
Eli and all the graduates. Hey, you know where Sam and I were? Before we get into the news, we got to get into the newsies.
Oh, right.
Hey. Oh my gosh, where's our picture?
I just texted you. Do you have it?
Wait, we're going to take a pause in the show for a commercial break while Jen and I find a picture of ourselves.
It's in your text.
We went to Newsies, the Broken Leg production of Newsies, which was amazing. It's not even one of my top 50 favorite shows, but it was outstanding. And now I kind of love it. So if they come around, I highly recommend you have to go to these shows because they are they're spectacular. It's amazing what they can pull off in 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Aren't they doing something like Mary Poppins next? Aren't they on to the next one already?
No, but that umbrella backup.
Yep. It's a little bright for Mary Poppins, but
let's go fly.
Yeah, Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins is ready for the rain, by the way.
That it is. Yeah. That is a Martin family favorite too. So I'll be muttering every word under my breath the entire time.
Isn't like the Dick Van Dyke movie super creepy and spacey? It's not.
Only when the cartoon penguins maybe show up.
Don't
otherwise,
you disparage the great Dick Van Dyke? What is the matter with you?
He's still rocking it.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Speaking of other things I've seen on Twitter, Dick Van Dyke is like exercise. He's in his 90s, exercising every day. Looks great. Good attitude. He's not afraid of the rain either.
No, I
don't think he added any weight for like 50 years to his life. Like he weighed the exact same since Dick Van Dyke TV show. And so anyway.
Well, he's also seen in the second Mary Poppins movie that came out.
That's right. He has a cameo. So Newsies was fantastic. You still have an opportunity to go see Mary Poppins. Cinderella's coming up. Les Mis is coming up. Broken Leg Productions, they do an amazing, amazing job. And it was a thrill to be back in the auditorium and see those kids live. They are so talented. And Adam Schuler does such an amazing job with this program. We are lucky to have him and this program in Melrose. And by the way, LTMM is a proud season sponsor of Broken Leg Productions.
It was so good because they said they were thanking their sponsors, which were in the program, were on the wall on the side. But I think we got the second biggest applause of the night for LTMM.
Which was a little surprising.
Not the first. Okay.
The first was for the show itself.
Yeah.
Well, if we got the first, we would have conceded to the actual performers.
So,
all right, here we go. Let's get on
to the news.
There we go.
Sam Hammer reporting live from Melrose.
All right, excellent. This is me as amateur journalist again. So I read that the Melrose Public Library was finally awarded $8 million to build renovations to make it more accessible, more clean, more green by the Massachusetts Board of Library Commissioners.
Cute air horn, Tomcat.
8 million times.
Can I hear that?
Yeah.
Oh God, please don't tell me that.
So I didn't realize that this grant was, we applied for it back in 2017 and didn't get it, waitlist, had been waiting for it. And now it's here. Here's the opportunity to finally do this work. Melrose does have to match this grant. So $8 million or whatever the cost, the balance is, but definitely the $8 million has to be matched. And needs to go through city council approval. So this is a great opportunity for us to leverage the money that is right in front of us for a project that we have needed, that we do need, and that we really need in the future. So
I think I read somewhere it's like number one on the capital improvement plan anyway. And it's like one of those things, if you get access to the retirement plan at work and they're going to match, like you're crazy not to take it.
Right.
And of course, in this case, we applied for it. So we made the decision to apply for it. So to not step up now would be kind of silly.
Yeah,
it cuts the price of the job in half because we have $8 million given to us by this grant. So it really truly is to me an opportunity that we have to take and have to look at carefully.
So accessible front entrance, a room dedicated for teens, other rooms for community meetings, moving the children's room out of the basement, new innovative technology space, new HVAC system and more, all in the Patch article. Excellent reporting by Mike Karaji, as usual.
I have one suggestion. If you go to the Boston Public Library down on Boylston Street there, you'll see that WGBH has that window of media. Boom. LTMM. We need an LTMM window.
Only while we're waiting for MMTV to finish their studio there too. Our loyalties are with MMTV.
That'll be LTMM South. That'll be down the street if we have to do like a remote access or something. We should be everywhere.
Edith asks, how are we going to raise to match the funds? That's a good question. Well, there's money floating around. We talked to the mayor on this very show. I mean, we did a budget override some years ago. There's COVID relief funds coming in. It was a little difficult to get a handle on it. So hopefully by now there's some more. But there should be some money in the coffers. Plus, this was something we asked for.
Right.
And every year there's like $5 million left over for this free cash thing, you know, the leftover funds when you underspend for the budget. So there's money around.
Yes, and Sam, you had a bit of intel about
bonding
and our bond rating is really high right now, and so
we have excellent credit because as we complain about most years, we are very conservative with our money and how we spend or don't spend our money and how we save a lot of it in capital reserves, etc. So we have an excellent credit rating, and I think the ability for us to, if we needed to borrow and bond this money at a lower interest rate to spread out the repayments over years and years, I think is an excellent opportunity to do that. It's kind of like, I looked at this is not like a great analogy, but like I moved here after the middle school was built, but knowing that was kind of like the last building, like physical building we had bonded for, and it was a much higher price tag, and it was, you know, it was paid off over years. And I think, you know, the taxpayer impact was, we'll do the data, our data team, our staff.
Yeah, the data interns.
Phenomenal for the project.
And we can't imagine not having that building now. And I would say that the library is a centerpiece of any community, and ours really, really, really needs an upgrade in a number of ways in for the facilities and in ADA compliance and just like being able to offer like next generation services that we're really good at. Our library does amazing, amazing programming for kids, teens, adults. It's like any library, it is and can be even more of the centerpiece of our community and community gatherings. And I want to just add one thing. So our former host and colleague and friend and top fan extraordinaire Steve Cazella was tweeting earlier about this McKinsey report that apparently McKinsey consulting company did for the state of Massachusetts. And it's about, if I can pull up my phone fast enough. It's basically about like the future of work and all this data about like how people are gonna be working and what kind of transportation they're gonna need and what kind of amenities they're gonna need and things like that. And it talked about 32% more people are going to be working from home, taking classes at home, more and more online schooling, either at the university level, probably not at the, you know, at our K-12 level, but like at the university level, and people are working at home. So if you look ahead to this like post-COVID world, this is another opportunity where Melrose can be ready to embrace that world. Because if everybody is working at home at your house now, and you've got a university student trying to take classes at home sometimes, the library is a great place for students to be able to work if they need a quieter place than their own house because there's six other people working there, or to do your homework or to study. So it's really forward looking and future looking to this like post-COVID world if we invest in this right now. My two cents.
I mean, if not now, when? What are you going to put it off for when? Like, when are you going to do it? And there's $8 million on the table. So
You have a bird in the hand.
You cannot not pay attention to infrastructure. This is actually an attractive piece of it, but that's a little bit more tangible. But you got to take care of stuff. You know.
But to Sam's point about bonding it, I think it's a great opportunity to bond it. As she said, the last building we bonded was the middle school. And I think we're 4 or 5 years left on paying that off. And as Sam pointed out as well, it was a much higher price tag than the library would be. And I don't think it made significant impacts on people's purses to the tune that they would say, no, we don't want to do this because it costs us too much money. If you put it as a part of the city operations over the course of many, many years, then it becomes a much easier bill to pay. So again, it has to be done. We have the money. So now is the time, to me at least.
I agree.
Yeah, you're going to do that, and then you're going to move on to the, you know, the police and safety building.
Fire.
I mean, there's a whole list of things, and so this is, I'm sure, baked into the plan. This was done years ago. The pitch.
Yeah.
You know, we'll get there. It's the right thing to do. You got to keep that moving forward, and who knows? Maybe there will be some other event, Friends of the Library or something, where we'll get a chance to contribute a little bit more directly. But
we have. There's also a suggestion too coming across.
Yes, that's a great suggestion.
It's the best suggestion ever.
Okay, yeah. Jen, tell us what's going on with business.
Oh, well, so, you know, because we are members now of the Melrose Chamber of Commerce, as you like
Chamber
to say it.
Of yeah. Commerce.
So now,
unarmed.
You know,
I'm unarmed with my other thing tonight.
So now we, you know, we have our finger on the pulse of all the business news around Melrose as we get the newsletters from Jen Manning and the folks over at the Chamber. And I continue to hear about the good work that Garden Remedies is doing in the community and donations. So they're, you know, they've given money in the past to, or recently even to the Melrose Farmers Market for SNAP programs and things like that. They have recently provided a $30,000 gift to Mystic Valley Elder Services to ensure that program participants in Mystic Valley Elder Services in Melrose will have access to healthy aging services and prepared and nutritious meals. The Mystic Valley Elder Services services an average of about 675 Melrose residents per month. So that's money that will be well spent. And then Brian Moran, who's the co-CEO of Garden Remedies, was quoted in that newsletter. It said, Garden Remedies is focused on being a great neighbor and supporter in all communities we operate. Mystic Valley Elder Services focus on promoting health and independence for older adults, along with their nutrition and food distribution programs, has been incredibly important during this very difficult time. Garden Remedies is excited to assist with their phenomenal mission, and we look forward to continuing our strong relationship with them and the broad Melrose community. So it's the second kind of like food assistance program that they've supported, and healthy nutrition and stuff like that. So thank you to them. I just think it's great.
That's a win. Yeah.
There we go.
That's a win. Well, that's, sure. That's nice to hear about.
Yeah, it's good for them. Here's a big story to somebody. I'm not sure who, but I thought I would just mention it. There was a Small Business Association grant program during COVID for restaurants, and Massachusetts in total received almost a full $1 billion for this to be distributed to about 2,500 restaurants. Only one of those is in Melrose. Bobby C's down on Main mm-hmm. Street. Received a grant for about $127,000. So good for them. I'm not sure why others didn't get it, if they applied and did not get it, or else they did not apply. But it sounds like a pretty big program in total. And again, Mass got $1 billion for restaurants and small businesses to use as grants. And so Bobby C's, good for them.
Oh, good. Okay. So maybe Bobby C's will build the beer garden then. Let's
get
in touch with them about that, maybe.
On the daycare side, possibly.
Yes. Maybe it can be both daycare in the day and in the evening a beer garden. Let's maximize our space. Here.
I think in Mass it's legal to serve beer at 12. So that's just, you know.
There we go. Speaking of beer.
And other restaurant news. So I talked about
this. News?
I talked about this last week because I took this photo and I was so excited to see Santa Fe coming to town. And then I was a little bit concerned to read this article about, I guess they're having a little bit of trouble with the liquor licensing. And there's just kind of some weird arcane stuff that we've dug into in the past on this show and then sort of forgot about. Like, you know, if you actually read the bylaws, there's all kinds of like weird restrictions. So I guess Santa Fe is a burrito bar, martini bar, and ice cream window, right? And so people were joking about that, but I think it's like a great concept. And they've got the windows opened up. It's the old Papagino's building. And I guess they wanted to have the bar, you know, sit at the bar at the window and all of that. But it's not a sit-down restaurant, which I actually did think it was until I was learning about this. It's more like a Chipotle where you go and get your food and bring it down to the table. And I guess this is causes a monkey wrench in the old throws a monkey wrench into the works of the arcane Melrose bylaws on liquor, where like we have rules, like you you have to have your food on a solid plate in order to have, you know, your drink, and you can't get your drink at the bar and then walk to a table, because, you know, I guess these are, these are all the opportunities of yesteryear where, you know, the youngins would sneak in there
debauchery will happen, or
the debauchers, I guess, it, not necessarily the illegal youngers. I guess these are even legal people of age.
May debauch themselves by disrupting
our lives,
getting too many drinks with their burrito or whatever it is. But it, it's this crazy backward stuff that I guess got held up at the Liquor Commission. And I guess there's another meeting in August that I might be tempted to participate in this one and weigh in, because, well, we talked about this before in the show, but the whole controversy over the nips and, you know, Buckaloo's and Beacon Hill getting a license to sell
spirits.
Thank you, Tom. Yes. And the nip bottles and all that. And at the time, I remember reading a lot of the Liquor Commission rules, and there's just like weird stuff about like live music, and you can't have a cover charge, and you know, you've got to have an appetizer or food from the menu every two drinks, and there's all these like crazy rules. When Rising Eagle opened, that we sort of learned a little bit more about that. Like, there's all these like weird rules, and I think at Rising Eagle was a self-service thing, but you had to have a server come over, I think, to order your drink, or you had to get it at the bar. Anyway, Santa Fe envisions something that sounds like a lot of fun, and these weird rules are getting in the way. So I think the rules need to be changed, is what I'm learning, and I think we got to pay closer attention going forward to this next meeting.
I agree, Tom. Let's bring in some, let's have more of a conversation about this.
Great idea. So I happen to have a neighbor who also feels very passionately about booze and Melrose.
That's a theme among all of our friends.
What are the odds that one of your neighbors is passionate about booze?
I mean, he's on our side of the tracks, but across Wyoming, one of my favorite people to read on Facebook, I say he's like the best op-ed around, is our friend, Niall Fuentes. I'm going to bring you on. Ready? Here we go. Is there music, Tom?
There is, but you know, there's a note here about Finn's tweet. Did we want to go over
that? Oh, we'll get to that in a second. Yeah.
Get to that
Let's
later.
Bring Niall on.
Oh my God. Thank you for coming on. I know you watch every single show or so.
Anytime Eric Wildman's on, I'm there.
Crazy. I told you he'd be a good get. So we talked earlier, we went to Newsies this weekend, and before we went, we wanted to have dinner, Niall. And so there were 7 adults and 3 kids, 3 plus, and we couldn't figure out where to go. We wanted to just go somewhere, chill out, grab some nosh and some drinks and just hang out. Lindo was on the table for a moment, but we really couldn't figure this out. So Santa Fe may be that place. How do you feel about what's going on there?
So we're looking for the same thing. We're on the same page here. Just a little background. Besides being a local crank, as Sam would describe me, I spent a lot of my early formative years working in restaurants and kind of have an understanding. I'm in the back of the house, not owning or running or anything like that, but understanding how restaurants work. And one thing I'm really concerned about, besides me having a place to eat and going with all my friends and, you know, having a few and not just having one and then having to wait for this period of time and this period of time and get an appetizer. You know, I'm a grown up. Give me 3 drinks. I'm not
going to. The vision is a bar. I mean, they want to have a bar. Like, it's not that, it's not like a crazy concept.
Well, right. I think there's a concept. I mean, again, having lived here almost 20 years, and I think Edith made a comment, we were so glad to be able to have a beer anywhere. We were thankful, like, do whatever rules you want and we'll do it, you know?
Yeah. So right.
it just made us so happy to do
That's
this
right.
without realizing we were doing all these crazy things because there are these people that, you know, again, probably in my church, you know, 100 years ago who are prohibitionists And so their grandchildren are still here and thinking about, oh, you know, this place is going to be crazy and it's going to be like Austin in 1987. And you know, there's going to be like punk rock bands playing. I mean, I think it sounds awesome, but it's not Austin Rock City, and thinking that Melrose, downtown Melrose, is going to be Austin Rock City. So I think, you know, looking at it from the restaurant's point of view, I think they have a business model. It's worked in other places. I think, to me, also being Latino owned is something that's important to me, and bringing that type of diversity into the chamber. I mean, we can't just have one guy, you know, opening all the restaurant Latino restaurants in town. I think that, you know, there is a very thin margin these folks are working with. And if they're going to serve a quality project of food, they're making their money on the booze.
Right.
And, you know, and people in Melrose, this town has become somewhat more affluent as it's become, as I call it, Somerville by the Fells. A lot of people moving into town who are upper income, middle income, who will spend $12 for a fancy margarita.
And a well-made drink, if it's done properly, is worth $12. Oh, right. Sorry.
So, that's fine. I was just going to say, because there was the place upstairs of the old Stearns and Hill that was that martini bar at.
I can tell you exactly what was wrong with that.
Me too. Oh.
Too much open space. It was it was just weird. Too much open space.
Yep.
But again,
and that hard concept, potato
the concept was here. And so rather than tweak and fix it, they just jump ship. I don't know if that's because it's Melrose or because it's them, but I'm with you. I want this to work, but I want to find a restaurant that's able to find the solution to the question, what's the most appropriate way to have a place that's not going to be a restaurant only, the light of maybe have a live musician play. Well,
I agree with you, Tom, and I want our business rules and our commission laws and things to be friendly to those businesses.
Right,
This is a good time to introduce Finn's tweet, as our friend No Fun Finn put up a tweet that I thought was spot on. Why can't we have more cool restaurants in downtown Melrose? Melrose, here's why. I mean, the commission wants to make sure any liquor bottles aren't visible from the street. It just sounds archaic. And Niall, you said something earlier that I think I said about maybe fire pits or something. Like, I really want our elected officials to treat me like the voting adult person that I am. Like you said, we're not trying to, you know, all go, you know, go off the rails here. Like, I just, right. I'm an adult. I can handle myself in a restaurant and drinks establishment in the city that I live in. It's just absurd. But the Liquor Commission, you know, I looked on the website that, first of all, there's three commissioners. And according to, there's very, 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 very little information on the website, but I do feel for them a little bit. It seems like their hands are a little bit tied, because it just says that they are the group with the power to grant, suspend, or revoke licenses and permits. So they just have to follow the existing rules. So if we don't like the rules, it's not necessarily their fault. I don't know how you change them, but I don't know.
So we learned.
They can.
We learned in the whole NIPS debate, to change them is very doable, but non-trivial, right? It's got to go to the city council, and then it's got to go up to the state. And then come back. Like, it takes a bit to do that. Like, it's not like something that the Liquor Commission itself doesn't have the power, but the city has to take action. Then it has to go up to the state Liquor Commission and be okay by them and all of that. So it takes time. So that's what we were talking about the NIP thing. Like, we addressed sort of one little thing, but there's like 15 other weird rules in there that just need to be fixed. I think it should all be cleaned up.
But it seems like the commission, though, could act as the researchers and the advocates, like take a page from the Bike Ped Committee, where you really dive into the details and try to come up with the data and the arguments for these changes, and then try to present it to the city council or try to move it forward. Yeah, in that way. They could take a more active role if they wanted to, I think.
The argument is some of the rules are silly and outdated. Just move on.
I think that's not a knock on. I mean, one of the great things about Melrose is, like, there's all these people that volunteer for these commissions. Mm-hmm. They don't get paid. And they just want things to run well. And I think you people are part of this, right? You volunteer your time. You're not making the big bucks doing this. and that's super important. So it's not an
We forgot to apply for the PPP loan.
and we really just need to figure out how to, like you said, change the rules. Because again, I'm looking at from the business point of view and looking at people who want to come here. I mean, imagine if you would, for those of you who are former Somerville people, a Red Bones or something like that. And I think maybe this is the part where Brett comes and say, that's not your part.
Something like a Red Bones, but better.
But with a wheel that spins that I can get whatever beer I want.
But you know what?
Again, I'm a grown up and I can take my kid and have a lemonade and I can have a beer. I can have three beers, and I swear to God, I'm going to walk home because I don't drive because, you know, this is a very walkable city. Again, thanks to the bike and ped community, getting better. The types of plates, now that's just absurd. I mean, there's pieces of this that are just absurd rules and laws that are prohibiting people, and again, as a market-based person, from making money, coming in the community, bringing people jobs, and bringing us entertainment. I mean, that's important to us, and that's really what this conversation is about. We want to have a couple of beers, we want to listen to some music, maybe play some rock and roll, maybe stand up out of your chair and dance. I don't know. Whatever people want to do.
Ooh, that's like the Footloose thing. I think we're going
to... I think we're around a Footloose thing. So I really trying to come into the Footloose theme.
But Niall, you mentioned Red Bones, and Brett can debate food was the best or not, but we went a lot for the experience. It was a fun place to go. You could take the kids. It was loud. It was messy. Mm-hmm. It was more about a place to go and gather and be out and doing that than it was about the food. I like the food, but it's more than that. It's the whole experience, right. So, what Santa Fe is offering, and I want that.
Me too. And then I want an ice cream
I feel like a lot of these have never been tested before. They were on the books for who knows how long. Remind viewers who were not living here more than 10 years ago that it was a dry town, right? So you couldn't even buy liquor.
That's true.
The part that I think concerns me is that there's a lot of vocal opposition to things that are such a low or no impact issue, right? So we now have places that can sell liquor, sell beer and wine on Main Street when we couldn't before this, right? So are there people who said back then, no, we shouldn't do this, who then today are saying, you see, look how many problems we have because someone's selling beer and wine. No, there's no problems. It's working fine. So I feel like this fear of selling beer at Mount Hood by people who aren't even going to use it, aren't going to play golf. So it's just this battle of back and forth for opinions when the reality is it doesn't change a whole lot about the city. It doesn't bring in a different kind of person. Beacon Hill Wine sells beer and wine to people who live here. And that's the end of the story.
And we're glad that they're there.
So changing the laws, I think, is key. The whole point is changing the laws, I think, is key.
Yeah. I mean, we had Elks and VFW selling booze the whole time. If you didn't belong, you weren't going and drinking there. So, again, it was very slow.
We figured that out.
Santa Fe Club. Here we go. Let's go. I'll be a member. Isn't that like in Texas or somewhere where you have to be like a member of a club and you pay
Utah.
A dollar?
Yeah,
is it Utah.
It's like 3-2 beer and you have to be a member and you need to buy the glass and but come on.
Well, it could be fun. I'm always looking for loopholes now.
So anyway, Santa Fe, what's the solution? What's the resolution?
Just do what they want to do. Let them do what they want to do and see what happens.
But again, the commission doesn't have that authority. They're not told fix things. They're
by
told,
the power vested in LTMM.
You have the power to fix it.
Look, we are declaring. What are we talking about in the show meeting? Civil disobedience.
Yeah. That's right.
I'm going to drink a martini in the window.
That's God. Also, when we talked about civil disobedience, also reminded me of Niall and to invite him on the show. Again, he is one of my favorite.
Cranks.
Local crank.
Local crank.
Title.
I was telling these guys earlier that like. I read your stuff. You post a lot of your feelings and thoughts on Facebook, and they're very colorful, which I thoroughly appreciate. Mm-hmm. And then I finished reading, and I'm like, yes, that's exactly how I feel. And I'm glad somebody said it with all of that, all those four-letter words. But where could you point to that your opinions and your value structure has come from? Like, how did you get to be this awesome?
God. I don't know, just working and caring about the little guy. In this case, the little guy is some dude who's trying to bring me margaritas. But, you know, it's, I mean, I think that's where it comes from. And being a little bit of a crank. And also, just to be out full, I'm a stroke survivor, so I have impulse control. So part of my cursing and stuff is probably because I just don't feel a need to control myself anymore, except for work stuff. Because that's what I thought Sam was going to get me on here and go into an education thing and get fired. So that was the issue. But I mean, this is a great place to live. We've lived here almost 20 years. It's grown around us, which has been awesome. It's become, you know, a better city. You know, everyone that's moved in here has made it a little bit different. Schools have gotten, I think, better and more engaged. There is some diversity growing, which is kind of nice. Like to see more of that. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, we live in a great community and we should be able to go out for a beer.
To celebrate that.
Yes.
Right.
I totally agree.
Very well said. We talked
many, many times about the beer garden as well as a part of that effort. So just right. saying, it has come up.
You want to close Main Street for a weekend, beer garden, pay for the library.
Watch the comments light up. Watch the comments light up here.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, you have someone come in like Idle Hands or Night Shift and say, have a beer war. And just sell all that beer, bring people over, have food trucks.
Have it at the summer here. Stroll. How about at the summer stroll?
See? The comments are already awaiting.
Yes.
Brett could do a pig. It'd be great.
Yeah. Are you going to be at the summer stroll, Niall?
I guess so. I mean, got to get rid of the kids. That's the key, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
I guess I think kids are allowed at the summer stroll technically, but
well, yeah, I think they like it. Yeah, no, they like it to be. It's designed to be an evening out. I think.
For kids or no kids. I'm not anti-kid because if families can't go. They have kids the reality is people can't go if they can't bring their kids, right? So
no, that's fine.
Yeah.
But right. I think we have enough babysitters of age now with my daughter's friends, so we can organize that through this summer stroll as well.
There you go.
So true. Well, was at Newsies, I said, on Friday night. And so your family has always been, like, somebody in your family has always been a part of my family, which it sounds absurd, but it just, it. So Elena was Sammy's book buddy at Lincoln.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Yep.
Nice.
And now you work at PTO amongst other things. So
no, I just sit back.
And my wife was president at PTO for 2 years, and it's just like the most thankless task anyone could ever have in town.
Well, yes. I thank her and all the others who have gone before her, and it's all because it's always been all my friends and neighbors, and it's a great school community, and we are lucky to, like you said, Niall, like live in this great community. So we should probably toast to that and finish up.
Wrap up. Yeah.
Any last cranks? Any last cranks?
Well, wait a minute. Where do we find Niall's stuff online?
Huh? Oh God.
Oh, you'd have to be his friend on Facebook.
The community pages.
Yeah. Are you Melrose messages?
I stay away from the community pages because people fight about everything.
Yeah.
I don't fight, I mean, as much of a crank as I am, I don't fight on the internet because I just see people fighting and I'm just like, including some of my friends that are probably listening. And I'm just like, I don't know how you do it. It would make me insane.
Yeah.
I'll fight with you in person. Like you want to come to my porch and want to yell at each other across the street? I'm down. Oh.
Okay, that's what we need to do. We need to have the next episode live from Niall's porch. This is the show we've been trying to get to, Niall. We just need to go to your porch.
Yes. All right, well, I feel like there's some golden gems in there. So I expect a friend invite from me as soon as the show is over.
Yeah, me too. But I think we might actually.
I feel like it needs a little bit more publicity. We also have been talking for a long time about a crank segment. Tom Shampoo has done a few rants, so we could do a rant and a crank maybe every week.
Rants and cranks. Cranks and rants, yeah.
You could be our crank correspondent. Wow.
Yes. I don't know how to take that, but okay.
It sounds good. It sounds good. It's all good. All right. Well, with that, I guess.
Yeah.
So we're not going to get into on-street parking today then, right? Because that's a whole other... I only got as
both... Oh,
as both, that was a whole thing.
Yeah, we'll have to bring you back for that.
We've discussed that as well.
Never
as both the Jens and city government know, like, it's on-street parking and booze to me. Like, those are the two. It's town.
Oh, my God. All right, give it quick. Wait a minute.
Getting
on-street parking?
Oh, yeah. It slows down traffic.
Oh, no. I'm anti-on-street. Oh,
no. Okay. We have to say
it. Yeah. Have it out. No way.
It slows traffic down. It makes it safer. It's
what parking does?
On-street parking.
Yeah, all right. I'll make sure that I'm clear on that.
Those are bad.
Oh, okay, I see.
To do it. You and that other guy that was got all the ruckus going a year or two ago. That's a bad idea.
I don't know. What is it? Is it the whole thing about basement apartments and, like, you know, in-laws? And, I mean, I don't understand. I mean, I know there's people who just don't want cars.
There's just weird. Some people legit have... don't have enough space. I mean, the way that, you know, where the houses are laid out and all of that. So we make some exceptions or accommodations for that. But I love the off-street parking. And if you want to slow people down, put traffic bumps, bump outs from the curb. I mean, there's tons of other tools. The last thing you would do is let on-street.
Oh, no. I'm all on-street.
I want to back up. Niall, are you saying on-street for Main Street only or the whole city?
No, the whole city. It's chaos.
I live up in Berwick, right?
I'm leaving town as soon as that's approved.
Most of the houses on my street don't have driveways.
Right.
And they were built in 1891 or whatever. And it's like, you know, you didn't need a driveway. But now it's like
the horse out back.
People are working and they, you know, two incomes and driving. And even if you hate cars and want public transportation, you know, great. But then we have to improve public transportation too. And even then, I think post-pandemic, a lot of people are picking up those cars again.
I've given up on that. I've got friends. Actually, Eugenia was tweeting from her recent ride in the Orange Line. And it's an old, crappy, rusty car.
Yeah.
Water it's with raining. All the rain. Yeah. All the rain is leaking in and there's puddles on the seats. And, like, I've just given up all hope. And the new Orange Line cars that we waited literally like more than a decade for are now offline because there's some other problem with them. That's a problem.
Yeah.
But
they were in service, not out of service. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right.
All right. Sorry.
Okay. So.
This is great. And I feel like we've got a future show like the Colonel's on future show.
No, you know what we're going to do? Point counterpoint.
Yeah.
I think I'd have a better chance in boxing, but okay.
I would probably just lay down as soon as that bell rang. Yeah.
Run away.
Face up or face down?
It's just a coward. All right.
You know, once we get into the beer garden, there's going to be all sorts of fisticuffs. So, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. There'd be chaos. Chaos all over the city.
It'd be like Beowulf.
I don't know what that is, but we'll see you around town.
All right.
Thanks.